The title of my sermonette is John's Good News. In the book of John, he talks about a lot of different things. He points our mind towards God the Father and Jesus Christ and their relationship. There's many, many stories in there. The wedding at Cana, Nicodemus, the story of Lazarus being brought back to life, and of course the foot washing. Why does John tell us these things? What is his gospel, his good news, all about? Why did he write it? Let's turn to John 20, and we'll read what John has to say. John 20, in verses 30 and 31. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written. When God wants us to know, he writes them down for us. That you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, you may have life in his name. And he says in the next book, in the next chapter, in verse 25, and there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were all written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. John wrote these down for the reason that he gives, that he wanted us to know, believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing that you may have life in his name. John only gives us the tip of the iceberg. As he said, all the things that Jesus did were written down, all the books couldn't contain them all. So my specific purpose today is that we will believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing, we will have life in his name. One of the things that is a personal story for me, I was called into the church through the book of John, specifically when he talked about how the Passover day was right before the High Holy Day. If anybody's interested in that story, I'm happy to tell them, but we'll skip that for today. So let's go over and look at some things from the book of John. We'll just go into one chapter, chapter 6 of the book of John, to see if we can see the things we're talking about. So let's start chapter 6, and we'll read starting in verse 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Then a great multitude followed him because they saw the signs which he performed on those who were diseased. Jesus had been performing signs in Jerusalem at the temple. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. They kind of had a little huddle. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, says a little bit later, we'll see 5,000 people. He said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test him, for he knew what he would do. Then Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. 200 denarii is, I guess, about a half a year's wages. And then one of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Sounds like a first century version of a Lunchable or a Happy Meal, doesn't it? But what are they among so many? Then Jesus said, make the people sit down. And there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in the number of about 5,000. This year we had 250 at the feast in Lake Geneva. If you multiply that by 20, and that room was pretty full, that would be what 5,000 would be. So you can only imagine what 5,000 people looked like. And I'm sure some of us can remember back in the Dells when there would be 5,000 to 10,000 people there. And Jesus took the loaves in verse 11, and after he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish as much as they wanted. So Jesus asked a blessing on the food, and then he started to break it. And what did the disciples think as the bread and fish kept dividing and dividing, enough so that they could feed 5,000 people? So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, "Gather up the fragments, that nothing is lost." So just using a little math and reason, there should be only 5 loaves of barley and 2 fish, right? When they're all done. No, they had 12 baskets. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which were left over by those who had eaten. You can only imagine what came to John's memory when he was writing this. He had seen it, and it was something that was really impossible to believe. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, "This is truly the prophet who has come into the world." That prophet would have been the Messiah, the Christ. Continue on. We'll start another one here in verse 15. "Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed to the mountain by himself alone." Back in the book of Matthew 14, it talks about how Jesus had told the disciples to go on without him across the sea. "Now when evening had come," in verse 16, "his disciples went down to the sea, got into a boat, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them." I would have probably said, I don't really want to go out in a boat and the lake in the dark either. I would have said, let's wait till morning. But no, they were seamen. They went out and they got on the lake. In verse 18, "Then the sea arose and a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid." Here we see another miracle happening. First the feeding with the fish and loaves, and now Jesus walking on the water. "But he said to them, 'It is I, do not be afraid.' Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going." So this is 2 amazing miracles done in their sight. Let's move on to verse 41. "Then the Jews complained about him, because 'I am the bread of life which came down from heaven.'" And of course, they didn't understand that Jesus was going to have his body broken and his blood given for their salvation. They were taking it physically, and he was talking to them spiritually. "And they said, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?'" Or they thought they knew. "How is it that he says, 'I have come down from heaven'? And Jesus therefore answered and said to them, 'Do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him.'" And what a tremendous calling that is for all of us, to be called by God and to have our minds open to his truth. "And I will raise him up at the last day." So Jesus says that he will raise us up at the last day. What a great promise to us, to all of us who believe. In verse 45, "It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me," to Christ. "And not that everyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God. He has seen the Father," and that's Jesus Christ. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." So we're seeing he's the Messiah, he's the Son of God, and we can get everlasting life if we believe in him and what he stands for. Let's go on to verse 64 and last section here in verse chapter 6. "Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a hard saying. Who can understand it?' When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, "Does this offend you? What if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit which gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life." Jesus was speaking what God the Father told him, but they couldn't accept it. But there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, "Therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father." From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. In verse 67, Jesus said to the 12, "Do you also want to go away?" They had seen many miracles, hadn't they? They were in the boat when Jesus came walking on the water. They had been standing right there when he was breaking the loaves and fishes. Even if you think back to Cana, they were there when he changed the water into wine. 68, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.'" You know, John wrote this, his book, so that we would believe. He tells us good examples of Jesus showing himself as the Christ, as the Son of God, and that if we believe, we will be resurrected to eternal life. So in conclusion, we see a great benefit to reading the book of John. We see that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, and that believing we can have life in his name.